Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No Caps fans were calling in. Ultimately, a few did call in.
Yes.
To talk about
two.
The Caps, who've won eight out of their last nine. That, you know, just talk about Fortnite instead.
Right.
Because that actually went over yesterday when we were talking about it. So yesterday, I did actually dabble with my first game.
Okay.
Of Fortnite with my son. Like, I didn't play the whole game because I was confused. Basically, I was just on the run the whole time,
right.
And I actually finished 12th out of 100.
That's pretty good.
I didn't have any kills, Cakes.
You were definitely camping. You were hiding.
No, I didn't do any camping. I was just running around using the pickaxe, chopping down trees, gathering wood.
I know the drill.
And then the circle would enclose.
Yeah, the storm is approaching.
And I would have to run into the circle where I guess there's a greater percentage of people playing.
Sure.
I was on the outside, which is probably why I finished okay. But I actually had to hand over the controller at a point because I didn't even know all the buttons.
Sure.
And then a llama appeared, and my son goes, "Ooh, a llama!"
I don't understand the significance
so
of the llama.
You jumped the llama, and he got, I don't know, got a different gun, got different ammo.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, there's gun, there's ammo. You can switch from your pickaxe to a bazooka or whatever.
Look, I know it's wildly popular.
Right.
It's just not for me. Like, I'll watch my son play from time to time for 5 minutes.
Try to do some bonding by playing, but, you know, when the llama popped up, and then he was like, "Dad, can I take over?" It's like, you know what?
Yep.
Yes.
Gladly. Take the controller.
I'll watch you. And then it gets down to, like, you see how many players are still in the game. So
yep.
It starts with 100, and you obviously want to win. It's down to, like, 50. I'm like, "Oh, I'm finishing in the top 50. Then it's 30, 20, down to, like, 16, down to, I think we finished 12th, whatever. As it's coming down, he then builds, like you said, he takes all the wood that he has, and he's like, "I got to get to high ground."
Right.
And he builds, like, a three-story house
or
cabin so that he can be perched up top to, like, snipe people.
Absolutely.
Who are coming at him. And then, I don't know, never saw it. Next thing you know, we got sniped.
It happens. That's the whole object of the game.
I guess you have to be head on a swivel.
Absolutely.
Looking around. So you haven't even played one game?
No. I just know that I would be killed instantly by some 10-year-old in Topeka.
By the way,
I just wanted
yesterday I watched the latest episode of Homeland.
What'd you think? Double thumbs up? Yes. Pretty good season.
This season is really good.
It's very good. I still am not crazy about, like, domestic terrorism,
well,
information warfare.
It's Russian intervention.
I know it mimics you know, what's going on
of
here in the real world.
But it's never dull.
It's never dull.
True. There's never a five-minute stretch in Homeland that's dull.
She's going to try and break. Shoot, now I'm forgetting.
Dante next week. She is just a mess.
Total mess.
She's a complete mess.
She does total mess really well,
I mean, she
well,
can't
though.
Even check into a Hearty Motel 6.
Well, her credit card's been denied.
Yes, she's just a mess.
A1 has better credit.
I tell you what.
Than Carrie.
Yeah.
I can't stop watching it. Can't stop.
Well, you had like four or five shows that you said you had to watch. Now, you threw in McMafia yesterday, but McMafia comes out on Monday nights.
Right, but I didn't watch it from last week.
I haven't watched last week's
either.
Because
we were in Florida.
Yeah, I'm way behind.
Well, you didn't miss this past
because
they skipped
it. So did you watch Walking Dead? See,
well, hold on. You're skipping ahead. There was no McMafia episode this past weekend because they're showing the premiere of this show called The Terror.
Okay.
All right, so there was a premiere of The Terror. So
which
McMafia
duped,
comes back
which
next Monday.
Which duped me on Walking Dead.
And I know.
You duped me on Walking Dead.
I know.
Dead.
It duped
so Jason
me. The
got
guide,
me all excited.
The
he
guy
goes,
told me 2 hours.
He said, "Walking Dead, there's extra Walking Dead this week."
Now, do you need a zombie sound effect? I have to play the ghost here. It's the closest I have to a zombie.
And by the way, Walking Dead, I've seen that the ratings have been diminishing over the years. My prediction is next year is the last season. Because at some point, they got to call it quits.
Mm.
They have to move on. Anyway.
Is there any way that Negan flips and becomes friends with Rick because he's bitter. Ugh. He's bitter at Simon for killing Jadis, his crew.
I have no idea.
I know, you have no idea.
There's a chance.
Is there a chance of that?
There's a chance, but you know, I'm not a comic book nerd, but I've heard that the show generally follows the comic book.
Yeah, no
and
idea.
And I think Negan is toast in the comic book.
Okay.
Now, they've extended him several seasons because he's a popular character.
Sure, of course.
So who knows? They could always
something
different.
But you're right. When you logged on, you saw the guy that said Walking Dead for 2 hours.
Sized.
And then they cut it off and they went right to the terror.
It was a regular episode. The reason why it recorded 2 hours was because they threw in the trailer for next week's episode in the middle of the terror. So I just had to fast forward through the terror, which is, it appears to be a pirate ship that gets frozen in Antarctica.
Oh, that's what I would say. Already not interested.
That's what I would say. I don't know, but it appears to be something like that.
The show that's intriguing me, but I haven't quite pulled the trigger on it yet, and I see the ads all the time. I know Jace is watching it. The Alienist. It looks like something I would be into, but I haven't given it a chance yet.
Yeah, it's good.
To me, it's Sneaky Pete, and we talked about that yesterday with Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
He's a really good actor.
And he watched a couple episodes, so maybe it's not that spectacular, but it looks good. But I have so many shows to watch on Mondays because all the shows come out on either Sundays or Mondays that I watch. McMafia, Homeland, Billions.
Billions, yeah. I haven't gotten into Billions. Here it's good. There's just too much to watch.
Valdez, you wanted to weigh in?
Oh, no, I was just going to say Sneaky Pete was good. There's just too much stuff to watch.
Yeah.
I can't. It's in the queue. I'll
what
watch
are the
it eventually.
Shows that you watch? I know you said you watch Queer Eye.
I watched that. I finished that. That was a 10 out of 10.
It was very good. It is very good.
So, Cakes, you dabbled with Queer Eye?
I've seen 3 or 4 episodes. It's pretty solid.
Silicon Valley just came back.
Yeah.
On Sunday, I watched that. I watched golf.
Yeah, of course.
Porn. Different every week?
Yeah, porno. I watch porno. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. That's kind of all I want.
And College Hoops.
Yeah, College Hoops.
Yeah.
I told you in Jim Norton's bit during his show where he's kind of improvising. So, you know, obviously goes through his act. And then at one point he does some crowd work and he puts guys on the spot, asks them what genre of porn they watch.
Oh, really?
And then he plays off it. But there's all these terrified guys.
Do any of the guys ever say, I don't watch porn?
No.
Okay.
No, but there are terrified guys who are there on dates with either their wives or girlfriends who don't want to answer.
It's kind of an awkward spot, but I applaud Jim Norton for doing it.
Right.
He's putting the crowd on edge, which is good. It's a good
thing.
That
would be really awkward.
Yeah, it would be.
Sit next to your wife or girlfriend.
Yeah.
And all one guy is yelling out, MILF!
Right. Everybody's looking at you like you're a total weirdo.
For one guy who answered, who had a girlfriend or significant other with him, I couldn't see.
Yeah.
I did answer Asian, but I believe his wife was there who was Asian.
Oh, okay.
But most of the guys didn't answer.
Yeah.
And he would just say, oh, okay, I understand. Then eventually he'd get like some guy to chime in.
Right.
Something odd. Big, beautiful women.
Drabby, would that be awkward for you if Norton called you out?
No, because I realize that it's a bit and you got to say something wacky.
Would you say something funny, like it's funny and wacky? Like,
well,
I probably
it's
would.
Funny or real.
You know what I would say. You know what I would say. I can't
what would you say?
I can't say.
Oh, I know what he would say.
What letter does it start with?
Can I say what it rhymes with?
T.
What? I can't say what it rhymes with?
No, you can't say that.
Why?
I just gave the first
you
letter.
You have such censorship.
Yeah, I know.
T. There's not that many that start with T.
Teacher.
Teacher, right.
It's not that many that start with T.
Right. There's not, but there is one.
There's one that starts with T, but usually starts with big in front of it.
Hmm.
For guys that are into that.
Okay. Right? I think I know where you're going. Yeah, sure.
And Norton would probably laugh.
He would definitely laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's had some experiences.
Jason, I didn't know you're into Pontiacs.
Pontiacs. Oh, yeah. That was okay. Now it took code.
You're so telling me Norton, you think Norton wouldn't laugh if I yelled out that?
Of course.
He'd probably ask for your number and want to hang out.
You got to hang out at post-show.
That would be funny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking about the Redskins,
I'll say this about Gruden.
I feel it's a huge year for him because if you look at his record, the last three seasons, basically 500. He was 4-12 in 2014. Then he was 9-7, 8-7-1, 7-9. Basically 500 the last three seasons with only one playoff berth. This is a huge year.
I'll say this about Gruden, and you can say what you want about him as a coach. You can think what you want about him as a coach, as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good dude.
Like, seems like a really good guy.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
All the media guys that cover him say the same thing about him. I know buddies who play golf with him.
Mm-hmm.
They say he's just a good guy. He's the type of guy that you would like to hang out with.
Definitely love to have beers
You'd
with
have
him.
Beers. He'd tell you good stories. Yeah. You know, he'll talk football, but he likes to talk about other stuff too.
Right.
He's just a good guy. So in that sense, I kind of root for him. And I'm not a Redskins fan, obviously, but I would root for him to stay around because I just think he's very likable.
Yeah. All right, we said that we're giving away the Nationals home opener tickets at 7:45. It's 7:45. We're making it easy today. Yesterday we played Nationals Survivor, Nats Survivor. Today, just the 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You call us right now on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Lister line, and you win a pair of tickets to the Nationals home opener April 5th at Nats Park. It's brought to you by the proud partner of the Washington Nationals, Papa John's. Papa John's has great discounts every day. How about two large, two-topping pizzas for $22? See all their offers under specials at papajohns.com. You can get all the contest details online at thefandc.com/contests.
So the Nats are actually playing over at the park today at 4:05.
They
are. The Twins in their final exhibition game.
Tune up before the season starts.
They left Florida, and then they'll have tomorrow off, and then they'll play Thursday in Cincinnati. And I believe for opening day here at the park next week, I believe we're going to be out there doing a remote.
I think so.
I think all the shows are going to be out there.
Very cool.
So that'll be pretty cool.
As we should.
I'm guessing there's not going to be a lot of action at 6 in the morning while we're there at Nats Park, but it'll be fun to be there.
No, it'll probably be very similar to what we did down at West Palm.
Yes.
But a little cooler. It's going to be chilly.
Now I need to look at the 10-day.
Next Thursday.
For the home opener.
I bet you next Thursday at 6 a.m. Yep. It's going to be 39. Yeah,
40 if we're lucky.
High 30s. Something like that.
All right, let's go to the phones. Bobby wants to chime in on the Redskins offseason and what we heard from Jay Gruden.
Hey,
Bobby's
Bobby,
in North
Bobby.
Carolina.
What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Bobby,
I think it's a good offseason. We're finally spending money wisely. It's proven that you throw Monopoly money around like they've done in the past, it doesn't work. Smith signing's been good. Richardson's been good. Keeping Zach Brown, Mason Foster, those are two good key parts. The only one I think people are questioning right now is the Hankins deal. They let him walk. But, you know, he hadn't signed. It's a week gone by now. He still hasn't got the money he's thinking. But I think that position will be handled in the draft, either with Vita or Payne from Alabama. And then the running back deal, they're going to get that in the second round. They'll have some studs there. Michelle, Chubb, Penny should be there on that second pick in the second round.
Bobby,
man.
Sounds like Jason, a draft pick.
Yep.
Jason, guess where I'm going next Saturday?
Ooh,
next Saturday.
Augusta.
Oh, you're going to Augusta.
Of course
he
is.
I'm going to Augusta, baby. First time ever. Looking forward to it.
Very cool. Hey, Bobby. How
Nicely
do you listen
done.
To the show? Are you a streamer or are you watching us on NBC Sports Washington? You're in North Carolina.
Well, I do get CSN Washington, but you guys are blacked out down here for some stupid reason. But I've got you on my iPhone now, man, traveling around.
There you go. Radio.com app is the best.
So hold on, Bobby. Are you going down? So you're going to be down there for the third round?
Yes, sir. Moving day, baby.
Wow.
We'll go down Friday next week, spend the night, and be at Augusta all day Saturday, man.
Man, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Yeah.
You won't yell out a Valdez chant.
Oh, yeah.
When
he'll be escorted off the premises.
He'll never be allowed there again if that happens.
No, I'm going to be – look, I've got my Redskin pullover, so everybody will see me, okay? So be looking for that.
All right. Redskins all right. pullover.
Yeah, man, enjoy it. That'll be great.
Well, he didn't sound like he's from North Carolina.
No, not at all. You know what? But we need guys like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a fun day trip for him.
I'll
take all the listeners from North Carolina.
Absolutely.
And Bobby, it's not CSN Washington. It's NBC Sports Washington.
Yeah, but they've changed your name 100 times over the years. It's hard to keep up. Especially when you're blacked out in whatever part of North Carolina he's watching.
Yeah. But would you agree with me on the Gruden deal? Just seems like a good dude.
Seems like a good down-to-earth guy.
Who would disagree with you?
I don't know. I mean, some people might not like him just because he's not winning.
I've never heard one person say, man, that Gruden's a jerk.
And I kind of pull for him because I just like him.
He seems like a likable enough guy.
Yeah.
And he seems like a balance between, like, he's not country club, like Spurrier, like not spending any time in the park, but he's also not the guy that, like Joe Gibbs, who's basically doing 20-hour days at Redskins Park.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like a good medium between the two.
Right. I think I could tell the story. So he played
golf. I think you should, too.
Yeah, he played golf a couple of weeks ago with a buddy of mine.
Okay.
At a local club. And he, you know, let's just say they started at noon.
Right.
All right. And then at 5 o'clock, when they were done, they went and had a couple beers in the clubhouse.
Your favorite term, the 19th hole.
Yes, you love it.
And he was supposed to go have an interview with a free agent that was coming into town.
Okay.
All right, I don't know who it was, but there was a free agent that was in town
right.
that he was supposed to meet with. He blew off the interview because he wanted to stay and hang out and have beers after the round.
Clap that up. Sounds like my kind of guy.
That's my kind of guy.
You know what? He probably just called Bruce and Dan. And said, hey, I'm having a great time out of the course here, man. I just can't make it.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
I mean,
that's a bit of a show, I think.
Well,
he was supposed to be at a free agent meeting. He's a head coach and blew it off.
Yep, that's a story I was told.
For the 19th hole.
That's where you said, like, Bill Callahan as your coach by proxy.
Now, maybe they met later in the day.
I mean, maybe it was a free agent that is part of the organization. Then I would actually say, well, not that big a deal.
Or maybe if it was dinner with Zach Brown, all right, not a big deal. Now, if it was dinner with one of these guys they're trying to lure to Washington.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think it's a mistake.
Or maybe it was a lesser free agent, like a third-tier free agent that we don't know that much about.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's just like, you know what? It's not really going to make or break me to miss this dinner or this meeting. So I'm just going to hang out and have Mick Ultras.
Is he a good player?
After the round.
My buddy said he's decent. I mean, he didn't tell me what he shot. I think he's decent. Probably doesn't play as much as he wants to play.
Swanky club they were playing at, I'm assuming.
It's a nice club, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
It's a nice club.
See, it just depends on your definition of decent, because to me, decent is breaking 100.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's better than you guys.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, he's not a full-on chopper.
He's definitely better than you
like
guys.
Like these guys.
That's so funny, though.
I think I might play golf once or twice this summer, but it's strictly in like charity events.
Scrambles?
Yeah. I don't foresee myself just going out and just playing around for fun. Because it's not fun. Last time I checked.
Get your sticks ready for the Purple Heart Cakes.
That's right. Do we have a date on that? Do we have a tentative date?
I don't know it off the top of my head.
That'll be one of the two.
I think in a few weeks.
Pete on Sports says June 25th.
Okay.
Our D player.
Sounds perfect.
In a few weeks, I'm going to start taking lessons.
Is he even a D player?
Yeah, you know how foursomes have A, B, C's, and D's?
Right.
Yeah, he's the first putter.
Or F's.
He's the test putter.
Who's the fourth person in the foursome? You, me, Pedro, and who was the fourth?
Drab.
Drabber?
Me, Rick. You don't remember?
I remember somebody almost hitting a car in the parking lot.
Yeah, that was Drab.
Ball. That's right. That was you.
I got bumped for Drab because I played 2 years ago with Pete.
Here's how bad that
you had. You had like...
I had ACL last year.
Yeah. 10 knee surgeries.
I get it. Here's how bad that foursome is. I might be the B player. Oh. I mean, I'm not hyping myself up, but I mean, Valdez clearly the A. I mean, Drab's no good. So he and Pedro are battling it out for the C and D. I have to be the B. Right?
You might be right.
Am I delusional?
No, you might be right. You might be the B.
Cakes was Nubs too.
I know I'm Nubs. I'm not saying I'm silly, but I'm saying in this grouping, I'm the B player.
I love when Cakes is out from like 150 when most people would use him like a 9-iron. He whips out
the 3-wood.
Oh, and by the way, you have to see Cake. I played golf with Cakes for probably, I don't know, 6 years now.
Yeah. Right.
Like with the show and doing like the Craig Walton Classic.
Didn't we go to Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, down to Myrtle Beach.
Silly trip.
Cakes' swing has devolved so much over the years.
Because I never play. You expect it to get better.
Just getting dirtier and dirtier.
Like Arnold Palmer had a bigger backswing at the age of 85 than Cakes does now.
It's very abbreviated.
He half swings with a 5-iron.
I don't think I half swing.
From 130 yards out.
But he never plays.
Yeah, again, I never.
He has no power. The point is,
people who never play swing the club like that.
Well, he's so scared of hitting the ball right or left, he refuses to bring the club back past halfway. He chips the ball along the fairway.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you might as well take a putter and just whack the ball and keep it on the ground down the entire fairway.
Why are you killing your B player? You should be.
I'm looking forward to the 25th.
Okay, I'm sure you are.
Bish, Cakes, and JP, and joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, the head coach of your Washington Wizards, Scott Brooks, who is presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. Morning, Coach.
Coach.
Good morning.
Hello, Coach.
Hey, What's going on? Got a big one tonight. Got to get that dub. Got to stop the bleeding. How bitter were you after the Knicks game? Because I was really bitter.
I was upset. I was disappointed. I thought we needed to play much better. Couldn't score, and then we couldn't defend, and then we couldn't score again, and then it came down to who made the last few shots, and we made some critical mistakes again down the stretch of games that we have to clean up. I was disappointed. We needed to win that game.
Coach Brooks, we know that everybody in that locker room is hyper competitive, but does anybody take the losses tougher than Bradley Beal? Like, you see him interviewed after losses, and he had some salty language after the loss to the Knicks. Does anybody take it tougher than Brad? Because he can't go to the mic and fake it. Like, you know what his emotions are after wins or losses.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that our locker room was disappointed and frustrated, but you know, we need to definitely do that. Play that with that type of anger and emotion on the court, especially tonight. It's not going to be easy with the Spurs in town. They're playing great basketball, but he was frustrated, and rightfully so. We gave away the last couple of games. Denver came in and New York came in and won in our building, and it's unfortunate that it happened, but it did happen, and we got to move forward and be excited about what's coming up. You know, we got a game tonight, and we got John coming back soon, and so hopefully we can get some wins before that happens.
You know, generally you shouldn't care one iota about any halftime festivities that are going on in the building, like if it's somebody on a unicycle or a dog chasing a frisbee, whatever. But over the past two games, as you touched on, with Phil Chenier's jersey retirement and the 40th anniversary celebration of the 78 Bullets team that won the title, was there added significance on trying to get those wins in the home building with all the legends that were there that were in attendance for those two games?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a special weekend for everybody involved. And I give our organization, the staff that put it all together, they did a great job. Unfortunately, we didn't do our job. And I'm disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in our guys because it was a special night. It was a special night for Phil, and rightfully so. They have his jersey retired, and to have Coach Mata and all the great players on that championship team here. And they did a great job of putting a great night and great weekend together. Like I said, we didn't do our job and take care of business, but we can't worry about that now. We got to move forward, and we haven't played well at home. That's another thing that we have. It's kind of perplexing, and we haven't really played. We have a better road record than home, and it shouldn't be that way. I don't know why, but trying to figure it out, and we got to get better, and we got to do it soon, because once the playoffs start, you got to win your home games.
Talking to Coach Scott Brooks, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialists in personal injury law. Talk a little bit about Sato's play overall. He took over as the starter, and at times he's been really impressive. I feel like he rides a wave a little bit. Like, he'll have a really good game, and then other games he'll be silent. I know the game in San Antonio was tough. Talk about what you've seen from Tomas Satoransky.
Well, you know what? He's played extremely well in considering all the circumstances. We lost one of the best players in basketball, and he's been out for 2 months, right? And we're 14-11 without John during this stretch. And that's, I don't know how many what we had the first time he was out. I think he missed 11 or 12 games. Thomas and our team held the fourth down in this position because Thomas is really playing well. Struggled as of late. I think teams are treating him differently now. And also, maybe he's a little tired. We've tried to cut back on some of his practice loads, some of his pregame loads. This is the most he's played in his career, all the games he's played, all the minutes he's played. So, I when John comes back, I think it's going to be good for him. It's going to be refreshing because now he's going to have the confidence to play well with that second unit. And we know that sometimes that second unit needs a guy like Thomas with them playing. And hopefully that he can join them and play well.
So you mentioned John's close. He's not going to play tonight. And then I believe you guys go to Detroit. Would you expect John, can you tell us this? I know you probably don't know, but can you tell us this? Will you expect John back in the next three games?
It's, like I said, it's really close. We want to still get him a few more, sessions on the court. Hopefully we can have another good practice tomorrow. He's definitely out tonight. I don't see him playing in Detroit, but you never know. But it's getting close, and like I said, he's as good as it's really mind-boggling that the guy can miss 2 months of basketball and do the things that he's done the last few practices. But we're excited to have him when he does come back. We definitely need him, and it's hard to play extended stretch of games without him. But give our guys a lot of credit, and I thought they've handled it very well.
Coach, I've seen reports that John Wall has lost between 10 and 15 pounds during his rehab. Now, I could clearly benefit losing 15 pounds, but John Wall doesn't look like he has the frame to lose 15 pounds. Was that expected? Is he going to add, some muscle mass going forward? What's the latest on his weight loss?
Yeah, it's good and bad. The good that he's lost it, the bad that I think I've gained it. So I'm not happy with that. But he looks great, and He, if anything, it's going to definitely help. Takes some weight off the joints and the knees and his ankles, and then probably add some speed, if you can believe that. But he looks good. He feels great. It tells you all the work that he's put in. It's hard to lose weight when you have a knee injury or a leg injury, and he's been able to do that. And give him credit, and with staff, and works closely with our staff every day. And like I said, it's pretty impressive that he's been able to do what he's done with the injuries and kept his weight off, and actually looks better than before he got hurt with his body.
So, Coach, I think I asked you this last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and I asked you about when you start thinking about potential matchups in the first round, and you told me you can't think about that yet, but your guys were scouting a few teams, and now you guys have slipped to the six. You're 2.5 back of the Pacers, who've been playing well. Sixers are white hot, 7 straight. Cleveland's hot, 5 straight. So right now you would play Cleveland. Is this something you're starting to think about now as we approach the end of the season? You got, 9 games left?
Yeah, there's still a lot of games left, considering it can go one or two games here and there, because there's the teams up top, too, and the teams above us. You never know what's going to end up on their schedule and their games. But there's still a chance that we can play anywhere from, the top to the fourth seed. We have to get better ourselves. We have to right the ship, and we've lost 3 in a row, 4 out of 4 and 6 out of the last 10. So we got to get better, and we know we much have to play much better. We got to play a consistent two-way game, and we haven't been able to put that together, and it's kind of disappointing this late in the season. But it's still, we got John coming back, and I know he's we're not looking to him to save the day, but he's definitely going to give us a great player in our lineup.
Joined by Coach Scott Brooks, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. So we have a lot of callers who always ask about Jason Smith. Why isn't Jason Smith getting more run?
We've seen Martin Gortat's numbers kind of come down this year. Jan Mahimi has flashed at times, but Jason Smith not getting as much run. Can you talk about that?
Well, it's with Keith really playing some good basketball, you know, the last couple of months, and Mike Scott has played well off the bench pretty much all year. He's had some games as of late, and you know, Jason is really at that spot. He's a shooting, he's a big man that can shoot 17 to 18 foot jump shots, 3-point shot. He hasn't shot the ball well this year. Last year he did shoot the ball much better, but yeah, there's not a lot of minutes. You know, I tried to get him some minutes last game and thought he was solid. You know, he just has to stay ready. But I like him. I love his enthusiasm. I love his work ethic. I love his practice habits. I have to, you know, there's decisions to be made, and I thought Mike has played well all year.
Coach, I'm going to get back to the playoff matchup thing. I can't get off it. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Do you think you match up better against Boston or Cleveland?
They're both, you know, they both presented a lot of problems. You got LeBron is, you can argue that he's having an MVP year again, and maybe he doesn't get it, but he's definitely the best player in basketball. And the Celtics play, you know, they got a lot of good players. But we played them both. I mean, we played well against the Celtics. You know, we're 2-1. We lost one game with a crazy foul at the end of the game. And Cleveland, LeBron came in here and had, I think, 57 points and made every long two and made all of his threes. But we played them well there. So, I mean, I don't know. Both matches are going to be tough, but, you know, we got to get better ourselves and we got to get healthy.
He doesn't want to say it. We want you to slide to the 7 to play Boston because Kyrie just had surgery. I think Marcus Morris has been out the last 4 games. They seem more vulnerable than Cleveland.
Well, they've definitely had some injuries, but they're still, they got really good players. Jason Tatum, man, I don't even know if you can call him a rookie anymore, what he's able to do. And Al Horford is one of the best bigs, all-around big man in the league. Rozier is, man, he's an, I know he comes off the bench with Kyrie Irving, but he's really a starting point guard. He's as good as a lot of starting point guards in the league right now, but they're banged up. You know, so I don't know. I don't know where we're going to end up, and we don't know who's going to end up above us. So we just have to focus on how we play.
Coach Brooks, did you see Trey Burke's line from last night against the Hornets?
I did.
That's nuts.
It's great to see. I mean, he played well against us, unfortunately, and, you know, I thought he won the game, but he's made a transformation. He's changed the way he's thought the game, and he had supposedly, according to the article I read, he's had a reflection on how he plays and how he thinks the game and how he approaches the game, and it's obviously helped, and credit to him.
Hey, I was wondering, so you take on the Spurs tonight. Do you get along with Coach Pop? You've battled him when you were coaching OKC many times in the regular season and playoffs. Of course, now you don't see him as much here in Washington taking on the Spurs. Do you have a good Pop story? Do you get along with him?
Yeah, you know, I get along with him great. When I was out of when I took my sabbatical, aka got fired, I got invited to some training camps and San Antonio invited me, and I spent like 4 days there and got a chance to see him work, and he really was gracious with his time. I got to be in all their meetings, and really cool to see. And you know why they're so successful, because from top to bottom, they only think about winning. And it's not about stats. It's not about anything else, from the equipment manager to the video guy to the assistant coaches to Pop. Anything they do and everything they do is about winning. And just a great guy. I was very thankful for that opportunity. But, you know, I'm one of the best coaches, not in basketball, but all of sports in the world. And he's just able to motivate and every year, and no matter what, and I learned from them that no matter what you face with, you got to go out there and perform, and they never make excuses.
Coach, what was your take on Fultz coming back for Philly last night? I was clearly wrong. I didn't think they were going to bring him back, but they brought him back with 9-10 games left, so just adds another dimension to their team.
Yeah, I mean, impressive. They got a lot of talent. They just added another talented player that played well. I mean, it's another guy that comes in and scores 10 points and does the things that he is able to do. And, you know, I didn't think he was going to probably come back after missing all the games, but you could tell that he's been working and their staff has been giving him confidence to get in there and play well, and definitely adds another dimension to that talented team.
All right, Coach. This is Coach Scott Brooks from the Wizards. Best of luck tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I'll see you guys.
Thanks, Coach. All right. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our pal Antonio Daniels. Of course, played 13 years in the NBA. Now he's a studio analyst for two teams, the Thunder and the Pelicans. Two interesting teams there, Antonio. How's it going?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Yeah, what's it been like?
Hey, what's going on?
What's it been like covering the Pelicans, man? You got Anthony Davis, who's having an MVP type year. He probably won't win it because he'll go to James Harden, but he's as worthy as anybody. And then of course Boogie Cousins, who went down this year. That's an interesting team to follow. And then I'll say Alvin Gentry every once in a while. He'll just pop off at the refs.
Yeah, and you respect that. I know as a player. Former player and as an analyst, you respect when your coach goes to bat for you and is willing to take a fine. You know, and I don't think he's the only one that has a legitimate issue with the officiating this year. It's been a problem, an ongoing problem for the majority of the season. So I feel him on that one.
Hmm. If Boogie didn't get hurt, do you think that they are fully entrenched in the 3 seed right now?
No. I think sometimes what happens is, and you guys are getting a chance to see it in Washington as well. Sometimes when one of your better players gets hurt, if not your best player gets hurt, people will say, you know, is this a better team? No, the team is not better. They just play different. They play different. Sometimes it's a rally call. Sometimes it's guys just understanding that they have more freedom in the position that they're given, but it's just a different basketball team. They don't play the same with Boogie Cousins as they do without him. They picked up the pace. They're a much faster team. They're pushing the tempo a lot more, and they would not play this way with Boogie Cousins present. Obviously, you're going to miss his 25, 26, 12, and 5 assists, but it's just a different style of play when you take someone of significance like a Boogie Cousins out, or when you take someone of significance like a John Wall out of the Washington Wizards.
Antonio,
it's a different style of play, that's all.
Got you.
Speaking of the Wizards, they host the Spurs tonight. The Spurs, not very good on the road, 14-23, but they have owned the Wizards in San Antonio, where the Wizards haven't won since 1999. It's a shocking stat. Why can't the Wiz just once, like an outlier, get over the hump in San Antonio?
Good question. I have no idea. Sometimes it's just places that you struggle at.
Because they're not as good. They're not as good.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple.
I'm saying they're not as good. I get it. But one year out of 20, they have to win one of those games, you would think.
But you think about it. It's not like they're in the Western Conference when they're playing San Antonio twice a year. This is one time a year that they're playing in San Antonio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're saying is since 1999, that's what, 19 years?
Right.
19 years or so, like,
yeah.
Haven't won. So that's basically 19 times. And I get it. But, like, San Antonio is one of the most storied franchises. And if you look at the past 20 years of the San Antonio Spurs, they're almost championship relevant every year. Now, with all due respect, it's not like you're talking about the Sacramento Kings or some of these teams that have struggled for years and years and years to come. This is the San Antonio Spurs that you're talking about. And San Antonio Spurs are historically good at home. So...
You probably, you know, talked to some of the players. What can you tell us about what they feel down there about Kawhi Leonard? I mean, they've got to be so pissed off and frustrated that they just can't get this guy back on the court. And I don't know if Kawhi is just saving himself for next year, or is he just hesitant? What is the deal with him?
I don't know. This is one of the most confusing situations. And I'm in San Antonio. This is home for me.
Right.
So I'm kind of seeing this thing from multiple angles. Initially, I was one of the guys who came to bat for Kawhi, saying, you know what, man, if he's injured, he should not be out there. If he doesn't feel right, he shouldn't be out there. I have played for teams that have misdiagnosed players, so I can understand the thought process of going out, getting a second opinion, and saying, listen, I need to see what these guys have to say because they don't have a dog in the fight. That's why Dr. James Andrews is so popular. There's a reason that people go to him, because he's not tied to any one particular team. So his loyalty lies with the players and getting the players back right before they get out on the floor. So initially, I understood where Kawhi Leonard was coming from. Now it's a little confusing. Mm-hmm. You know, so when they have a team meeting and his response in that team meeting is, well, I have a legitimate reason for not playing, that almost implies the fact that maybe it's a little more than something physical. So I don't know what's going on behind closed doors in San Antonio, but I know being down here, this is the craziest thing that I've been affiliated with in San Antonio. Because this is not what they're used to. This is not what the fan base is used to. This is not what the organization is used to. And this city down, I'm constantly talking people off the ledge down here in San Antonio.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are the fans saying? Are the fans pissed?
The fans, you know, the thing about the fans here, these are some of the most loyal fans in the NBA. But I tell you what, with Kawhi Leonard right now, they have turned their back on Kawhi Leonard. I haven't heard anyone say anything. Even when I do NBA radio and people call in about Kawhi Leonard, they marvel at Manu Ginobili being 40 years old, diving on the floor and taking charges. And their response is, but you got Kawhi Leonard just sitting there. So basically, they're implying that Kawhi Leonard is basically just collecting a check in San Antonio. And I don't know how he's feeling. I don't know Kawhi Leonard personally. I'm not sure how he's feeling physically. I'm not sure how he's feeling mentally. But I tell you what, something is not right. I can tell you that much.
Talking to Antonio Daniels, played 13 years in the NBA, including for the Wizards. Now he's a studio analyst for the Thunder and the Pelicans. He's on NBA radio. All right, so we were talking about the Wizards a little bit, and you're right. They changed their style of play, and they've survived the last 25 games without John Wall. In fact, they've gone 14-11 without John Wall. But now they're sliding a little bit. John's about to come back to the lineup. He's not going to play tonight. How do you see them competing in the playoffs? Because just a week and a half ago, they were right around the 3 or 4 seed. They've slid down to the 6. And a couple of us are saying they should just slide down to 7 to maybe play a beleaguered Boston team, because you don't want to play LeBron and Cleveland in the first round.
You definitely don't want to play LeBron and Cleveland in the first round. But I think this John Wall, it was needed this whole time. And I know sitting on the outside looking in, it really bothered me to hear people say things like, you know what, maybe this Washington Wizards team is better without John Wall. That's silly.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's silly. When you have a guard of that skill set that does the thing that John Wall does and brings to the floor on a nightly basis, it's crazy to think that that team is better without him. And it was a small sample size. It was kind of a honeymoon phase that the Washington Wizards were going through without John Wall, where for the Boogie Cousins, where people were like, hey, you know what? This is better. You know, everybody gets a chance to touch the ball and so on. So you need star power. You need John Wall's ability to facilitate shots for himself and everyone else. You need his speed. This is a guard-driven league right now. So when you're going into the playoffs, you need that backcourt to be at its best. You need John Wall and Bradley Beal to be at their best to compete against the teams in the East, whether it's Boston, whether you're talking about Cleveland, whether you're talking about Toronto. Your star power and firepower that you have with those two guys in the backcourt has to be able to push this team over the edge. They're not going to be able to do that without John Wall present.
Man, AD, if you just look at the standings, they're closer to the 8 seed than they are the 5 right now. I mean, if they don't play well here in the next, and I think they'll beat the Spurs tonight. I just have a vibe that they're going to stop the bleeding. But
I don't believe that.
You don't? Okay,
no.
I might be wrong. But if they lose 5 out of 6, 6 out of 7, and all of a sudden they're at the 8 seed, I mean, man, that is just shocking to me based on how they were playing, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's why when everybody was talking about how much better this team may be without John Wall, that's a very small sample size.
Yeah, it is.
This is a star-driven league. This league is driven by stars. You know, if you look at what's going on now with some of the best teams in the league, you know, what's going on with Golden State as far as their injuries are concerned, what's going on with Boston as far as their injuries are concerned. We talked about Boogie Cousins being injured. Injuries are huge in this league. John Wall is integral to the success of this Washington Wizards team and organization moving forward. They need him. Mm-hmm. They need him. And as well as certain guys that played in his absence, they need his ability to bring to the table what he brings to the table on a game-to-game basis. What he brings is something that the other teams have to scout for. And he has a skill set that no one else on the Washington Wizards can bring. His ability to push that basketball in line, three-point line to three-point line is faster than anybody else in this league outside of maybe somebody like a Russell Westbrook, somebody like that. You need that. And when you're talking about the playoffs, and the game's going to slow down, you need someone in a half-court set that can generate shots for other guys. Because right now, as well as the Washington Wizards have played without him in small sizes, they need him big time, especially in entering the second week of April when you're talking about the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm sorry, but you got to beat the Knicks without John Wall. I don't care if you have John Wall or not. You got to beat the Knicks.
I agree. I agree. But when you're talking about this time of the year, it's a lot of bad losses that happen. You look last night, Minnesota lost to Memphis.
Oh, I know.
And at home.
I talked about it.
You know what I mean? Yep. So, right. It's not just a one team. It's not just a one team thing. It's very easy this time of the year to lose to teams that aren't playing for anything. Because the teams that aren't playing for anything right now, they've sent their cars home. They have their vacation plan already. There's no consequence for the way they're playing. So they can go out there and be as loose as they want to. This is why a lot of times in the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, you see guys on teams that aren't playing for anything get their career high. Because it doesn't matter. What are they playing for? They can go out there and be as loose as they want to be. But when you're a team like the Washington Wizards or the Minnesota Timberwolves or any other team that's playing for something, there's consequences for your action. It's a lot easier to play when there are no consequences. If you lose, you're supposed to lose. So you have nothing to lose.
Hey, was that a little bit of a Trey Burke swipe right there?
Is that why you said Trey Burke? Trey Burke had 42 last night. That's nuts.
Actually, I did not know that. Did he?
He had 42.
Hey, you're talking about teams not playing for anything, well, and then the guys
Knicks,
come out put
the
career
Knicks haven't
numbers.
Been playing for anything for like 30 games.
Yeah. No, because the thing is, with the Oklahoma City Thunder, this has been an ongoing problem with them all year, playing down to the level of their competition.
Yeah.
And when you start talking about the end of the season, this is what you'll get. This is what you're running to. You're running to teams where either guys are sitting out, the star players are sitting out. Like, you know, you look at the Phoenix Suns last night, and Devin Booker doesn't play. He hasn't played for a while. Or then you look at another team where you have guys that can just go out there and be free because you understand you're not playing for anything right now. And honestly, you're playing for a contract next year or the year after. You're trying to play yourself into a long-term deal. So it's a lot tougher to play against someone when there's no consequence and they can go out there and be as free as they want to be.
Antonio, you cover the Pellies. You're going to see one of the best players in the league come in and face Anthony Davis tonight. Damian Lillard has been on a mega heater of late. He's scored over 20 points in every game since February 8th. And in that game, he scored 18. I mean, the guy is on fire. He's got a 50-point game in that span. I think he tallied 44 in another game. So there should be a lot of offensive fireworks as the Pellies take on the Blazers tonight.
You know, as much as, and it's due, I mean, it's within right, as much as people talk about Damian Lillard, that backcourt right there with C.J. McCollum,
yeah.
I was just in Oklahoma City a couple of days ago, and I watched C.J. McCollum put on a show against Oklahoma City that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
34 points, and they had no one on that team that could slow him down. And that's what makes him so good. Like, similar to what we talked about earlier with the Washington Wizards, when you talk about the fact that this is a backcourt-driven league. When your guards are going, it is going to give you a chance to beat any and everyone in this league. So if Damian Lillard's not going and C.J. McCollum is going, that makes that team much tougher to deal with. And what you expect tonight is it's going to be a track meet. Portland likes to get up and down the floor, and obviously the New Orleans Pelicans, without Boogie Cousins, you have a Rajon Rondo and a Drew Holiday that will like to push the tempo as well. So it'll be a fun game to watch, for sure.
We shouldn't let you go without asking you about these injuries with Kyrie, with the Celtics, and then, of course, with Curry, with Golden State. How concerned would you be? You know, Kyrie's probably not as serious as Curry's because Curry's going to miss the first round. We're not sure about Kyrie, but how concerned would you be if you're a Golden State Warrior fan right now?
Oh, man. For me, my concern would be more on the other guys right now because Kevin Durant, how injured is he? Klay Thompson, that's going to be a big one.
Right, right.
Because I don't know, when you start talking about a fractured hand and they're saying he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, basically the reevaluation is, can he play with a fractured hand or not? Because it's not like that fracture is going to heal in 2 weeks. So that's a different. If I'm a Warrior fan, I'm concerned, and I'm not just concerned for Steph Curry. I'm concerned because the West has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is not like last year. And the Golden State Warriors, as good as they have been this year, they have not been as dominant as they've been in years past. So you take Steph Curry out. Now you're talking about taking Klay Thompson out. Now you're vulnerable. because now you're just like everyone else with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. As great as Kevin Durant is, but you take those two shooters out the game, now you're playing on a level playing field. So right. If I'm a Golden State Warrior fan, I'm concerned. Yep. I'm concerned not just with Steph Curry, but I'm also concerned with Klay Thompson.
And first round matchup right now would be the Utah Jazz, who've been playing great basketball since the beginning of the season. Donovan Mitchell playing so well. So going to be interesting. You cover OKC and New Orleans. You look at those two teams. They're in the 4-5 slot, but two games behind them in the 8th spot is Minnesota. It's really tight, 4-8 in the West. Antonio, always love having you on Talking Hoops with you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas.
Yep.
Anytime.
You're the man.
Yeah,
we talk about the Eastern Conference being tight, but again, OKC has a 44-31 record. They're the 4 seed.
Mm-hmm.
The 8th seed is 42-33, just two games back.
Right.
Super tight in the Western Conference.
The 8th seed has two more wins than the Wizards do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.